I was a passenger in Kentrell's brand new blacked out GT63 AMG coupe. The music was low and crisp, playing his own music. And weed smoke filled the air as he did 90 on the freeway to Carlsbad, California, headed to the Demon Mansion. He was smoking a stizzy pre-rolled joint, which was one of the best weed brands in California, looking like he was in his own world. The sound of the alarm telling him to put his seatbelt on had made my anxiety go through the roof. It was as though every sound bothered my spirit. "Can you put your damn seatbelt on? That noise is driving me crazy," I told him, annoyed.
"No,"
he replied, grumpy. "So, you gonna act like you the only one that needs to smoke? I need to get high more than you," I said, glaring at him.
"Dig in my duffel bag in the back seat and get your own. This personal."
He turned up his music a little more, like he didn't want to hear my voice. I reached into the back seat, found his black Damier duffel, dug in it, and felt his gun. I pulled it out and gazed at it while he wasn't looking, or so I thought.
"Don't try no dumb shit with my pipe, little mama, unless you want to see that Cortez nigga for real. Get your joint and sit your ass back," he uttered, grabbing my arm.
I wasn't about to do anything. I was moving it out the way. I set the gun back between the t-shirt, boxers, and cash he had in his bag. Finally finding the glass tube, I pulled out a joint, grabbed his gold lighter, and lit it. As fire as the weed was, it wasn't numbing my pain, but it did suppress the tears that I had been holding back. By the time we got to the Demon Mansion, I was high as a kite and ready for a peel and some wine. I didn't know what these people had in store for me, but I was hoping liquor was involved. Kentrell pulled through the brass gates with the initial DF engraved in the center. Emery and Big Ken lived in a modern palace with freshly manicured grass, a waterfall, and a flower garden out front. Expensive cars were parked everywhere, and I saw a couple of jet skis. Their house was above the water, so they had unlimited access to the beach.
The day of Cortez's funeral was somber, a small gathering of close friends and family. We stood in a modest chapel, the air heavy with grief. The urn containing Cortez's ashes sat on a table at the front, surrounded by flowers and photos of him from better times. It was hard to believe he was gone, reduced to ashes and memories. As we gathered round, TK arrived, and his presence was instantly felt in the room. He walked with a noticeable limp, and his left arm hanging slightly, a permanent reminder of the bullet that Cortez had put there. He approached the urn, his face unreadable, and then turned to me. TK said, his voice low and cold. "I was going to be the one to take that nigga out, for shooting me, for paralyzing my arm. I had it all planned out, but someone got to him first." He glanced at the gold urn, a hint of a smirk on his lips.
"Yes, I should be thankful. Saved me the trouble of having to take out my own cousin." I looked at him, a mix of anger and sadness welling up inside me.
This was a funeral, not a place for settlement scores, but TK's words reminded me of the complicated, dangerous life we all lived. Even in death, Cortez was a figure of conflict and unfinished business.
Lorraine was sitting in the front row, her eyes red and puffy from crying. She looked like a shadow of herself, the weight of her grief evident in every movement.
As the ceremony went on, I noticed her shaking, her sobs growing louder. She was in shambles, barely holding it together. It was heartbreaking to see her like this, knowing how much she had loved Cortez. As the pastor spoke, Lorraine suddenly broke down, unable to contain her emotions. She started sobbing uncontrollably, her cries echoing through the small chapel. I saw Big Demon,